you may be seated.
I invite you to join me in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, as we continue our series going through the Ten Commandments. The overall series is entitled Jehovah Unveiled. God reveals himself to his people. He has been revealing himself to his people by sending Moses to lead them out of Egypt. The people saw God's power as he overpowered all the gods of Egypt. The people saw God's faithfulness as he fulfilled exactly what he promised to do, to free them from slavery, to claim them as his own people, and to be their God. Now in the second section of the book of Exodus, God further reveals himself to his people through the covenant, through the law. So as we've been going through the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, as the Jews referred to it, we have seen what God expects of us regarding worship. That's what we've seen in the first three commands. The first three commands were all vertical commands. They were all from us to God. Have no idols. Have and create no images for worshiping. Last week was no profaning. Do not use the name of God in a light manner or in a crass manner. We think of it as cursing, but as Pastor Dan brought out well last week, it's much more than that. It's using the name of God in any unworshipful sense. So the first three commands were vertical. These next two commands, I'm calling them personal commands. They each directly benefit us when we obey these commands. And of course, the last five commands are horizontal. They're how we treat and interact with one another on this earth. Our text this morning is Exodus chapter 20. And though Jerry promised to be under 30 minutes, I have not made such a promise. And so we are going to read just our passage from the Ten Commandments. We have been reading all the Ten Commandments, but this morning we'll just read verses 8 through 11. So I invite you to follow along with me. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us your word. Because of your word, we are able to understand you a bit more. More so than we could understand you just from natural revelation, looking at the creation around us. Because you have given us your word, we have specific ways to understand your character. We have specific commands given to us on how we ought to live and how we ought not to live. Because you are our designer, you know the best way for us to function within that design. Lord, open our hearts today in this hour to hear from your word and to respond trusting you and obeying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got a little poem for you to start out this morning. I don't normally do this. You may like it, you may hate it. I don't care. I'm going to read it anyway. You'll recognize the cadence. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressures shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. Not ironically, that was on page 23 of the book that this came from, as it had the cadence of Psalm 23. We have the privilege of living in the greatest nation on earth. Are there countries that do some things better than we? Sure. But when it comes to having freedom to live in a manner consistent with our own beliefs and convictions, no country has done more than this one. I'm not going to ignore or deny our flaws, past or present, but as it comes to personal autonomy, the United States of America is tops, and I'm thankful for it. I thoroughly believe that though this is the greatest nation to live in, there is a biblical reason why we are also the most stressed of people. That's what we're going to talk about today from the scripture. The reason that we are such a stressed out people is because we do not know how to rest. We do not know how to be still. We don't know how to unplug. Are you stressed? Today's command might just be the prescription you're looking for. We see in our passage the Sabbath command. The command itself is short and simple. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And you know as well as I do that when the scripture says remember, it doesn't just mean keep it in your mind, right? It's not just, oh, today's the Sabbath, I should be resting. No, remember the Sabbath means obey the Sabbath. Do what the Sabbath was given for. Now that word Sabbath is one of those words invented for the English language from the Hebrew language rather than actually translating the word. There are lots of words that we have in the English language now that came about that way. We are a Baptist church. That word baptize is one of those words. If we would have translated it from the Greek into an actual translation, we would not be called Grace Baptist Church. We would be called Grace Immersion Church. Wouldn't that raise some eyebrows if we changed that name on the sign? Sabbath is the same way. It is taking the Hebrew letters and lining them up with the English equivalent of the letters and creating a new word. It's unfortunate that rather than translating the word, our translators have transliterated the word. Because we can read the word Sabbath every time it comes through the Bible and assume that we know what the word means, yet we might not. We could assume that it's simply the name for the seventh day of the week. The Spanish language adopted that as its name. If you know the names of the week in Spanish, Sabbath, Sabado is Saturday, the seventh day. So you could assume that the Sabbath just means the seventh day. We could also assume that the Sabbath means a worship day or a day to worship. And that's a logical assumption because that is what Israel did eventually. It's actually not part of what is happening here in the book of Exodus. That the gathering to worship on the Sabbath is something that became instigated later as the Jews developed a synagogue. As that became a thing, they began worshiping together on the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath simply means to rest or to cease working. So maybe it would be clearer if every time we came to the word Sabbath in the scripture, we would change it to the word rest. Honor the rest day and keep it holy. Maybe it would be clearer. But maybe it wouldn't. Because it's not obvious that people know how to rest. How do I know? Well, how many of you have, when you've gone on a Sabbath week from your work, you've gone on vacation, you came back more tired than when you left? Some of us are still so tired we can't raise our hands now. Yes, you stopped your normal daily work, but did you rest? How many of you supposedly had yesterday off from work, but you answered emails and texts from work that probably could have been and should have been left until Monday, but you said, I'll just take care of it. Or how many of you will go in on your day off because you know that you're going to feel behind if you don't go and get a little more done when you should be taking your day off? Now, this is one respect where I'm actually jealous of my dad. My father worked for Pellicorp for most of his working years, and when he walked away from work, there was no contact. He wasn't a manager, but he was right under that spot where he had responsibilities, but not enough responsibilities that his workplace would abuse that. And I'm just jealous for the fact that every time he got off work at 4:30, he was just done, and the rest of the day was his. Some of the commands, especially in the last five, are very brief. Do not steal. We know what that means. But keeping the Sabbath requires some explanation, especially if you don't have a standard Monday to Friday 9-to-5. Now, some of you have that, and it's really easy for you to just disconnect when you leave work. But for many of us, we need a little further explanation. And the scripture gives us that further explanation. We start with the Sabbath command. We move into the Sabbath extent or the explanation in verses 9 and 10. The word of God says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It is a rest to the Lord your God. See what he did there? On it you shall not do any work, you or your son. You can't pawn it off on your kid, or your daughter, or your male servant. You can't pawn it off on your hired people, or your female servant, or your livestock. Even the donkey can't work on the Sabbath, or the sojourner who is within your gates. So the foreigner who isn't a Jew, doesn't belong to the Hebrew people, isn't an Israelite, even they were to not work on the Sabbath. Why do we need to be commanded to rest? The answer, I suppose, is the same reason we need to have each of the other commands. Israel needed to be commanded to take a weekly rest because otherwise they would not. Right? In fact, we saw that, didn't we? A few chapters earlier, as God began providing manna for them, he said, I'm going to provide manna for you Sunday through Friday. Collect what you need for one day's worth of food. Make it how you're going to make it, eat it, enjoy it, but don't keep any for the next day because I'm going to provide for you on the next day. And when people did keep leftovers, they were demonstrating that they did not trust God, that they did not trust him at his word that he was going to provide the next day. But he said on Friday, on the sixth day, collect a double portion and save half of it for the next day so you have food for the Sabbath, because there will be no food provided on the Sabbath. And what happened? The Sabbath came and there were people who still went out looking for food. Again, because they didn't trust God. So when it came to food, there was no other food available, right? They were in the wilderness and there were a couple million people. Whatever food might have been there was gone immediately. They had to trust God. God forced them to rest on the Sabbath before he gave them the command, because he wanted them to trust him. We are not Israel, we're the church. We also need to be commanded to rest. We need it because we treasure productivity. We find personal worth in being productive. In fact, oftentimes we feel guilty when we are not getting something accomplished. We feel guilty when we're resting. By the way, knowing that God designed us to have a day of rest out of seven ought to free you from that guilt and help you to actually let it go for a day and rest. We find our personal worth in being productive. We find our identity in our vocation. That's a hard one, because our vocation is what generally we do for the most number of hours any given week, right? So it's very easy for us to identify as the job that we do. Yet our identity is to be found first and foremost in Jesus, if you're a believer in him, if you've trusted him for salvation. Your identity first and foremost should be as a child of God. And if you're married, then as a spouse to your mate. If you're a father or a mother, a parent to your child. If you're a child, you have that identity of being a child. All those are subservient to being identified as a believer in Jesus Christ. After all of those identities, and perhaps others that I haven't mentioned, then should we identify as our vocation. It does find its way on the list, but not very high up. Why? Because my identity as a child of God is far greater, of far greater importance, of far greater worth than any other identity I might share. So yes, vocation, your job, find its place on the list of ways that we identify, but it's not very high. And God commands us to set aside that vocation one day a week. He commanded his people very clearly. He made them do it when it came to the manna. But does not the Bible say that you should work hard? Doesn't the Bible warn against laziness? If a person doesn't work, they should not eat? Yeah, that's still in the scripture. Okay, so this is a balance. Yes, when it's time to work, work hard. The reality is for many of us, perhaps most of us, turning off work to rest, to Sabbath rest, is something that we struggle to do. We are commanded, God commanded his people to rest because we find our identity in work. We trust, we find great comfort in productivity. But he also commanded us to rest because we end up trusting in ourselves more than we trust God. God gave us the pattern of a Sabbath rest so our bodies and minds can recharge, so that we can be healthy, so that we can worship unhurriedly, so we can fellowship. So what about today? In our text, we have the Sabbath command. We have the extent of it. What about us? Remember when we started talking about the Ten Commandments, I mentioned how the law, all of the law, is consistently treated as one in Scripture. The clearest example is in James chapter 2, verse 10, where the writer says it this way. He says, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it." Right, so the scripture treats the entirety of the law, the Ten Commandments, yes, but all of the law, the ceremonial law, the civic law that was given to Israel, the scripture holds the law as one. So the idea that the law can be divided up between those who were for Israel only in the past and then those that remain for us in the church is not actually a division found anywhere in Scripture. And if you're confused about that, I can talk to you personally about it. I did talk about it a little more at length when we were on command number one. Back then, we also talked about how all of the Ten Commandments, except for one, are repeated in the New Testament, and this is the one. No idols. It's repeated in the New Testament. No images, less often, but still there. No profaning, not repeated verbatim, but the principle of honoring the name of the Lord is most certainly there. When it comes to keeping the Sabbath, Paul repeatedly and emphatically denies the requirement of the Sabbath. Now, hang on with me. I know we're going to go a little bit long today. I was telling Pastor Dan beforehand, the real struggle with this sermon is all the things that I'm cutting out. Okay, so hang on. To be consistent with Scripture and how it's written to us, I cannot stand up here and say that you must take a Sabbath rest each and every week. Because the command, the law, the requirement is actually repealed by Paul in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. He says this, Colossians 2, 16 and 17, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." And if you read the context there and the parallel context that he wrote to the church in Corinth, you will find that Paul is... The command that Paul gives is, do not judge people if they honor the Sabbath, and do not judge them if they don't. Okay, so I cannot stand here and say, you must have a Sabbath, and bind the conscience, and make it a law for us. Now, here's... I know that some of you honor the Lord's Day, honor the Sunday, and work really hard to not work on Sunday. And God blesses you for that, by the way. We'll get into why later. But I want you to see just how seriously God intended people to be in keeping the Sabbath, because there's no one in this room that does it. All right? Here's from the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse 32. In Numbers chapter 15, God is demonstrating how absolutely serious he was that there was a complete cessation of all work as it applied to the children of Israel. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. "While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day." Why is he gathering sticks? We don't know. Perhaps to build a fire. Whatever it was, gathering sticks is not exactly hard manual labor. Okay. Verse 33, "And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him." What should happen if someone violated the Sabbath by collecting sticks? Verse 35, "And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones as the Lord commanded Moses." Most of us have already done more labor than collecting sticks this morning. To really follow the Sabbath command, there was to be no ordinary work, no cooking, no going for a travel, nothing. Again, we are not Israel, we are the church. And to the church, the Apostle Paul commanded quite clearly that we are not under the law of the Sabbath. Now, in Paul's day, some believers honored the Sabbath and others did not. And either way, it was okay. In his day, most, if not all of the early believers in certain churches had been Jews, and they grew up with the Sabbath. So there are so many of them continued to keep the Sabbath as a day of rest, but also worshiped in the church on Sunday. It wasn't either or, it was actually both for them. And Paul says, if you want to continue to honor the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, that is perfectly fine. You can do that. But you may not bind the conscience, that's the word he uses, you may not force the conscience of someone else who isn't honoring the Sabbath like you are. Don't force others to follow your way when God has not demanded it. So where do we land on this? Well, let's go back to the text. Isn't that what we do here? We keep going to the text, going to the text. The last verse tells us, verse 11 of Exodus chapter 20. Why is God commanding the Sabbath? He gives us the reason in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. So the Sabbath principle, the pattern in Scripture of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest, doesn't come from the wanderings in the wilderness where God gave them manna. It doesn't come from the Ten Commandments. It actually comes from the first week ever. Sabbath goes back to Genesis chapter 2. When God rested from his work. And God is eternal. He is eternal in power and in strength. It was not tiring or cumbersome for him to create, right? In fact, he was acting awfully slowly in creating in 6 days, because the way he created was to speak and everything came into existence. So was God tired come day seven? Whew, I'm done, I've got to rest. No. He did that as a pattern for us. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. In other words, God designed you to take a day of rest for every six that you work. It's part of your design. Our big idea this morning is simply this: God gave you a day off, take it. The verse says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Holy, that word holy means to be set apart. Your Sabbath ought to look different than the rest of the days of your work week. Don't work, but rather rest and worship and fellowship. God has given this Sabbath principle as a gift to you. Remember, God didn't need to rest. It wasn't for him. It was for you. A book entitled The Habits of the Household has a section of it about the Sabbath. Here's a quote from this book. Sabbath is a whimsical rebellion against the idea that work is the only important thing in the world. Let me read that again. Sabbath is a whimsical rebellion against the idea that work is the only important thing in the world. And by the way, there are many who do believe that work is the only important thing in the world. The passage continues out of this book. The Sabbath looks at the tired, overworked American and smiles with compassion, inviting us into a rhythm of renewal that we desperately need. I would agree. For a while, I worked at a restaurant that would work us 10 days in a row and then give us 4 days off. On paper, it sounds great. It was awful. There's something about the way God designed us that we really do need the rhythm of 5 or 6 days and one off. Why do I say 5 and 6? Why do we have a 5-day work week in the United States? Is it because we're lazy Americans? No, it's because we have a Judeo-Christian work ethic. Saturday off because of the Judeo part. Sunday off because of the Christian part. That was not in my notes. Probably shouldn't have said it. Regardless, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees had added all sorts of specific requirements to define what it meant to rest. Obviously, no picking up sticks, because some guy in Numbers died for that. All right? There was also, don't walk more than a quarter mile. Yikes. That is not very far, folks. Don't cook. Don't dig a hole. Don't pluck grains from the stalk. It's actually that last one that got Jesus in trouble with the Pharisees. He and his disciples were out walking on the Sabbath. Jesus was going to minister to people. Remember, Jesus got in trouble for working on the Sabbath because he healed. He made the blind man to see. He made the lame to walk, and he did it on the Sabbath, and it got him in trouble. It ultimately got him killed. But because his disciples were hungry and it was on the Sabbath and they plucked a few heads of grain and ate them on the Sabbath, the Pharisees were upset with him. The religious leaders were upset with him. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, in response to that, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Man, that is clarity if there ever was such. Sabbath is your gift. That day of rest is a gift to you. Does that mean that you can do nothing but rest and worship on Sunday? No, because again, Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus is our Sabbath. Does it mean that if you will commit as much as you can to doing as little work as possible on Sunday, make that Sunday meal, because Sunday meals are the best, aren't they? But you commit your time to him, he will bless it. Any of you shop at Fairway? Not today, you don't. Publicly on their website, I don't know if it's still up, but this was a while ago, I looked that up. They recognized how it didn't hurt them as a business to be closed on Sunday, but it sure helped the morale of their people to always have that day off. Do you eat at Chick-fil-A? Not today, you don't. Same reason. Again, some of us have 9-to-5s Monday through Friday, and it just works well. It's kind of a natural habit to have a day to do something different from our everyday work. But if you don't have that built into your schedule, and you're the one in charge of your schedule, work hard and rest well. Give yourself that day of rest. For most of us, that's going to be today. But whenever it is, for me, it's Friday. Pastor Dan and I both take Friday. So if you wonder why we're less reachable, that's why. Because we're trying to spend time with our family. We're trying to get things done around the house. We're trying to do something different, so that we can be refreshed and start over. Man was not made to be burdened with Sabbath restrictions. Rather, this day of rest is given to us as a gift. Just as we need daily rest, need to sleep about a third of the day, we need to sleep. We also need weekly rest, a weekly reset from our ordinary lives. Remember that the definition of Sabbath is to cease from work. So if you have a very physically demanding job, your day of rest might include reading a book or watching your favorite sporting event. But if you sit at a desk all week, your day of rest might look more active. Go for a run or a bike ride. I don't know. However you rest, it ought to make you refreshed and ready to go back to work. You will benefit from it. If you're married, your spouse will benefit from it, because you won't be as grumpy. Your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual health will all improve if you obey the principle of the Sabbath. God gave you a day off, take it. Trust God enough to set aside your work for a day every week. Trust him, and that's what it takes. there will always be reasons to work on a day that you should be resting. The question is, what constitutes a legitimate reason for violating that weekly rest? Now, the Jewish rabbis thought through this long ago, so we don't have to make it up ourselves. And there are two lawful reasons that the Jewish rabbis determined that would be to violate the Sabbath: preservation of life and acts of mercy. The example that the rabbis gave is, if your donkey fell into a pit, yes, rescue it on the Sabbath. Probably no one here has a donkey, but you can make the correlations yourselves. I don't need to spell it out. I find these categories helpful myself, that if it's a real emergency, something that really can't be put off for another day, yes, by all means, by all means. So what is it that you're going to include and exclude from your Sabbath? Maybe you've already got a good habit going. Keep it up. Maybe you've never really thought about it. Take some time and determine, what am I going to do on the on my Sabbath, whether it's Sunday or some other day where you don't have to work? What are you going to include? What are you going to exclude? How is your Sabbath going to be scheduled differently? How is it going to look different than a regular day of the week? I ask you, will you trust God to not work one day each week? But Pastor, you don't understand my work. That's true, maybe I don't. But God does. And to reject his gift of the Sabbath is to invite your own peril. He designed you. Follow his instruction. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the gift of work, that it is a productive way for us to live, that you designed us to work. And when we don't work, for whatever reason, whether injury or incapacity, when we're unable to work, we recognize very quickly that that we weren't designed for that, that our minds and bodies don't do well when we are not engaged in activity. Thank you for the gift of work, but thank you also, Father, for the gift of rest. Lord, forgive us for the times where we have neglected that gift of rest, that ceasing from our daily activities. Help us to find ways to be faithful in taking that pattern of rest that you have ordained for us. Lord, give us opportunity to share with someone else the benefit that true rest gives us in the midst of this overly busy world that we live in. Lord, help us to rest, to reflect, to worship you, to honor you by living our life the way that you have made it work. Lord, help us to glorify you in our bodies and in our souls and our spirit as we live for you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.